Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Rosa Mendez, and I'm here at the number one Long Island broadcast, Monty Lucero. I have the best time ever.
Hey, listen, Daddy. You're listening to the number one broadcast, Monty and Pharaoh, Daddy, in Long Island. The best pro wrestling broadcast of all time, I think.
Jimmy, I got to tell you, man, it feels good to be back on YouTube. It was quite disappointing what happened to us, but we bounced back pretty fairly quickly.
Well, what else would we do? We're almost at 5,000 subscribers.
Well, speaking of that, man, we need more members.
Okay.
What do you think we need to do to get the people of those 5,000 subscribers to come on and join the team as a Monty and a Pharaoh member?
Nudity is out of the question. Any other ideas?
I don't know, man. I don't know. But what I do have a few ideas.
Well, just like Prell, they should tell two friends, and they could tell two friends, and so on and so on. Hit the like, hit the subscribe. Check out all our content.
But that's, you know what? That's why you're the star of the show, because guess what? Members get special content. Even we spoke about it. Pharaoh came to me one day and he goes, man, what's the deal? I can't even watch some of these videos because I'm not a member. And I said, there you go, Pharaoh. You got to be a member because this is what the members get. They get free content
nice.
That none of the other fans that watch this show get.
That's right.
You get free autographs from some of these wonderful stars that come in, right?
Nice.
All you do is you go to the MNP webpage, or, right, our own page,
yeah,
and shoot us an email and say, hey, man, I want a picture of Tommy Rich, I want a picture or whatever. And boy, that's on its way.
We give them their choice.
That's right.
We rock.
We do rock.
And you need to rock too. Join.
Hey, everybody. This is ESO, and welcome to the after show found here only on the Monty and the Pharaoh channels. First of all, I want to wish everybody a happy St. Paddy's Day. What are you guys doing to celebrate? You going out for kegs and eggs? You going out to dinner and having a few? Well, whatever you do, do it responsibly. Get an Uber, get a DD, you know, have only a couple, you know, get a Lyft, whatever it takes. Just be careful and be wary, because it might not be you that's the one who's had too much to drink. It might be somebody else out there. So, you know, everybody just be responsible and have a great time. So right now I'm still doing these canned shows. We're recording a couple days before Thursday, trying to get these to Mike by Wednesday so he can get them up on the air. I really don't have a time frame for the new computer to get here. It says backlog queue on the website that I got it through. I'm getting a really killer computer. I can't wait. But in the meantime, I'm using my iPad and my iPhone to record these. But once we get these, this new computer in place, we're going to be going live Thursdays and doing some other stuff on the channels too. Can't wait. We do have our first guest lined up. It's going to be the one and only Michael Monty. I can't wait to ask him questions, like some of the stuff from behind the scenes, some of the Marty stuff, the Tony stuff, some of the stuff from Jimmy and him when they were younger, you know, and more. If you guys have any ideas for questions, let me know, and I will be sure to ask them. You know, that should be a good time. Mike tends to take over interviews when he's there, but I'm going to do my best to not let him take over on our channel. If he wants to interview me, he can. I'll go over there and they can interview me, but we're going to try and keep control. We'll see how that goes, because he is he does take him over. If you ever watch one of his interviews, it's kind of funny. Next thing you know, he's interviewing the person. It's kind of comical. So while we're discussing them, Monty and the Pharaoh can be seen every Thursday night live at 9 p.m. on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and it's now streaming live as the flagship show on Thursday nights on the Intuit app, Wow, that's awesome. Way to go, guys. Congratulations. You know, Money in the Pharaoh, as well as the after show, can be streamed. The audio can be found streaming on Spotify, Speaker, Anchor, Podbeam, Apple Music, Amazon, and more. And thank you, Money in the Pharaoh, for putting me out, for putting my audio out there. And it's pretty cool. You guys have responded really well to it. It's actually been getting, on some of these platforms, better views than Money in the Pharaoh's stuff. Thank you, guys. I'm really surprised. But hey, I have that face for radio, I guess. So today, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to smack down because it deserved it. Not that it was a bad show. It's just the way some of the stuff's getting presented. And then we're going to go through a rough Raw. And it was rough. Sorry. And then I'm gonna follow it up with, I was looking for a magazine. I found these magazines in my grandma when we were cleaning out my grandmother's house that I had from when I was a kid, and I was trying to find one with an Irish wrestler on the cover or something like that. But one of the chat room guys, Luce, he wanted to go through another WWF magazine, so I couldn't find one with an Irish person, but I did find a green covered one, and it just so happens to have the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, on the cover. We're going to open this up, and we're going to go through some of the cool stuff that's in there. You know, on the cover, they talk about, you know, DiBiase buying his belt. This was the one. So as everybody knows, the he paid Andre the Giant to win the belt, but then he tried to turn it, when Andre turned it over to DiBiase, Jack Tunney overrode it, and that's how he ended up with the WrestleMania 4 tournament. Well, this was Ted DiBiase's answer. He made his own million-dollar belt, and it's made a couple of other appearances through time, so that's going to be awesome. Talks about Hulk Hogan starring in a movie. We'll talk about what movie that was. Stud and Andre, which of these behemoths is the real giant? Kind of funny that it's reversed roles. You have John Studd as the face and Andre the Giant as a heel in this one. Rick Martel, this is when after Rick Martel turned on Tito Santana and broke up Strikeforce. Oh, I wanted to say the Can-Am Connection, but it was right the first time. And then you got a sexy photo shoot with Sensational Sherry Martel. Well, on that note, guys, we'll be right back with Smacking Down, Smackdown. And welcome back to the after show, found here only on the Monty and the Pharaoh channels. So, what did everybody think of Smackdown this week? I have my own opinions, and we're going to talk about them now. First thing, there's no reason to have a 3-minute recap of what just happened on Raw. We have enough other outlets, and we have the internet out there. We all know what happens. Let's just, if we're going to watch it live or watch it on one of the other medias. Don't take away 3 minutes of the beginning of another show just to recap that crap. Yeah, just really it was a waste of the first 3 minutes. Then we had a quick Uso segment. That nothing wrong with that. It got the point across. One thing I like right away is we immediately were jumping into a match to get the crowd pumping. I really like when we do that. That makes the night go by so much better. The downfall was it was the fatal 5-way. Not a fan of that, but we'll get into that in just a second. So the fatal 5. We had it was almost 8 minutes of entrances. Karrion Kross's entrance is way, way too long. His entrance, I believe, almost everybody else was combined in less time than it took Karrion Kross to get to the ring and do his little shtick there. Realistically, we could have put that in the commercial break and had everybody just in the ring, and we would have saved ourselves another 5 minutes. Now we'd have 8 more minutes of good matches we could put on. Now we get into this fatal 5-way. One thing I'm not a fan of fatal 5-ways, fatal 4-ways, 3-ways, in that somebody always takes a light bump and disappears for the whole match. Immediately we had, I forgot who it was, but they take a bump and they're outside for the duration, leaving Sheamus and McIntyre in there. I don't know. It didn't really work. On the plus side, I loved the finish. I love those crazy finishes like that. It reminded me of Paul Orndorff and Hulk Hogan coming out of this on the steel cage on Saturday night's main event where they both hit the floor at the same time. Yeah, I really enjoyed that, and it's definitely set up at least one good match for next week. So let's get into the next thing up. We have just a few backstage segments. I'm, you know, pushing along the some of the lines. Then what do we have? Oh, we had the announcement of Rey Mysterio being the first inductee into the Hall of Fame, and then Dominic coming out and ruining it. At first, I was like, oh, man, you know, why are they going to have a gimmick in the Hall of Fame, in a Hall of Fame thing? Then I'm like, wait a minute. Everything's a gimmick, so why not have, you know, a storyline into the Hall of Fame? Why not? Let's go with it, but just let's make that match. Already, it's getting a little old. Let's just get it done. We know it's coming, you know, but just book it already. Then we had on the outcome of that, we ended up with Judgment Day against Legado del Fantasma, and everybody knows I'm not a fan of the flip-de-doos and all that stuff and cartwheels and everything, and I don't think it belongs in wrestling. But overall, I mean, the match was what it was. It wasn't bad. I'm not going to say it was a five-star match either. The finish was stupid. We have people kicking out finishing holds left and right, left and right, left and right. So you're going to tell me Damian Priest jumping in there to break up a pinfall and kicking the guy that's looking at him in the head. It wasn't a great kick. And all of a sudden he's out for the count. Come on, at least have done a finishing maneuver on him. So, you know, realistically, it was all about pushing the Ray and Dominic match. And, you know, we'll see. The Ray Dominic interactions were pretty good. I do have to say. Next, we had Braun Strowman and Ricochet against the Viking Raiders. I like tag teams. I really think they should push the tag team division. I think that it should be a place that where we bring in the younger guys and give them a chance to develop. I love gimmicky tag teams. I love the Rockers. I loved the Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express. The Destruction Crew. You know, they may be gimmicky. Even the Dream Team, the British Bulldogs. There were so many great teams back in the day. I really would like to see that type of stuff come back. And we definitely have enough guys on these rosters where we could have that happen. So, but now back to this match. It was overall a good match. I'm entertaining. My big gripe again is with the finish. That finish was, so you had Valhalla kind of wiggle her fingers at Ricochet there, and then Ricochet goes up to the top rope, misses the his finishing maneuver there, and then the Viking Raider climbs up to the top rope. But in the process, Ricochet moves into the way, like literally moves himself into the way so that the guy can land on him. And really botchy. It's not a great match, not a great finish to a good match. And please don't have this Valhalla casting spells and stuff like that. Listen, I have no problem with, witchcraft, her having like maybe a voodoo doll or something like that, or, you know, making a hex, you know, something that they may believe in, but isn't a real thing. And then somebody happening to have bad luck, whatever. I can see something like that, but no spells and no magic wands, no dementors coming out, please. So, what else did we have that night? Oh, we had Charlotte Flair against Shotzi. Yeah, every week I say I have one thing that I can say, whatever, next. I would never think I would do this to a Charlotte Flair match, but there was nothing to it. Whatever. Next. Can't believe I'm doing that to a Charlotte Flair match. Most talented woman in wrestling today. And I don't want to talk about her match. Wow. So then we, what do we have? We had, oh, the, main event team. Oh, we had Usos and Cody, with no Owens. Okay. Yeah. We had that, that weird angle where, you know, Jay came out to apologize or whatever he was going to do. And then, you know, Zane came out and Cody comes out. And now it's Cody and Zane against the Usos. And then on Monday, it's Kevin Owens fighting the Usos by themselves. But I'm going to get into that a little bit more later. I'm kind of confused on this brand thing going on right now because it really doesn't seem like we have brand things. Too many people crossing over left and right, but we'll talk about that after we talk about Raw. So let's take a quick break and we'll be back with some reflection on Raw.
Sir?
Ah.
Manscaped?
Uh-huh.
You know, have you tried the new equipment that's been sent?
I'm afraid because it says weed whacker. I'm scared.
Maven, Manscaped, what are you thinking about?
Love
Manscaped,
it.
Dude.
Love it.
What do you use it for?
Necessity. What don't I use it for? Put it this way. The only hair I have on my entire body is these eyebrows.
Yeah.
That you see. These caterpillars racing to the middle of my nose. That's it.
That is it.
That's all I have. And that's all I want.
That's the
So pick. Manscaped is a must.
We were talking before the show, there's nothing worse than just hair.
Yeah.
Right? Hair on a woman, hair on a man, it's just bad.
Absolutely. And it's the one thing that the older I get, it starts growing more in unwanted areas.
Absolutely.
I hate it.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
Just going to go out there.
Oh, boy.
Go for it.
You're doing a deed.
Yes.
Again, I don't want you to admit this because we, as men, we try not to admit this. But if you're going to go do a deed on a woman,
I know
would you rather have her be hairless or a little hair, racing stripe, or
racing stripe.
Full retro bush?
Racing stripe.
Retro bush is out.
Yes, thank you.
Retro bush is out.
Yeah.
I don't mind a small, well-manicured landing strip. Every now and then, if it's completely, and I'm talking like baby's ass bald, then I start, where is that pedophilia line I don't want to wander into that.
That's very interesting. Like that. I never thought about that. You're a smart dude. Holy shit.
So if the landing strip is clean enough for the plane to go in smoothly, you're cool with that?
If the landing strip has been, like I said, well manicured.
Yeah,
you can see both sides. It's not
like blinking lights on both sides of that.
I don't want you know, I don't want the shrubbery going off into unwanted areas on that.
Gotcha.
As well.
Oh, yeah, look what you found. Ooh.
I gotta be all honest though. Hey, the older I get though, I don't think I can be as
I found it.
Have you ever gone down there and like just like you, she slowly brings down the underwear then?
What is
retro.
Absolutely.
You're like, whoa.
Wow. Like,
yeah, I'm 46,
like it pops out? Do you like walk out or what do you do?
No, I muster through. I muster up the courage to get
through. He's a trooper.
Yeah.
He's a trooper. Gotta give him an ace.
Wow. Not all heroes wear capes.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, I couldn't say. Well, if you have the same beliefs as Maven does, Manscaped could help you.
Absolutely.
The weed whacker.
Absolutely.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that I may have to, like, you know, go in a room, close the door, and hang out with the weed whacker for a little while.
Yeah, I think you're a retro guy, aren't you?
I like 70s adult films, if that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
but with that, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with this wrestling icon, Maven.
We will see you in a dropkick second.
Dropkick.
The Monty and the Pharaoh Show is brought to you by...
Because wine is your second favorite four-letter word. California wine, New York attitude, good fucking wine.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the After Show, found here only on the Monty and the Pharaoh channels. What did everybody think of Raw the other day? Overall, I wasn't overly impressed, and I'm going to tell you why. First thing it did was it started off with another recap promo. These recap promos are getting out of hand. They're taking up half the time. It's kind of silly. And then we had one of my least favorite superstars of going right now, Edge. I'm not sure why Edge is going to be in WrestleMania with Finn Balor. He should be giving somebody the rub that needs a rub, not somebody that's already over. Finn Balor is the leader of Judgment Day. He's not some schlub. Edge, you need to be working with younger guys to elevate them. Finn doesn't need to be elevated. He's already above you. I really don't get it. I'm not looking forward to that. Well, that's going to be my bathroom break during WrestleMania because I have absolutely zero urge to watch Edge wrestle. So what else do we have? Oh, yeah, we ended up with next was Dexter Lumis and Johnny Gargano against the Judgment Day. Not exactly sure why, but it was whatever. Decent match. I'm going to give it a C. So what did everybody think of the Brock Lesnar promo there? How bad was that botch? That was the worst thing I've seen in a long time. I didn't realize Omos was that green. Either that or Brock Lesnar just didn't know it was coming. I don't know. There was something way, way off there, and I expect more from those guys. You know, then we get more recaps. Then we get a repeat of a match from a few weeks ago with Cody Rhodes going over LA Knight. LA Knight is a perpetual jobber right now. I'm not sure why. The guy's got all the charisma and all everything going for him, yet we choose to book him as a perpetual loser. Don't get it. More backstage stuff, and then we had another thing that didn't make any sense. Bronson Reed. Not a fan of him. He doesn't move well. They like him because he's such a huge guy, but I would rather see Boogs and Elias get put over, you know. You could repackage Elias a little bit, but Boogs, Elias, come on. Those guys could be a great tag team together, but no, instead we're going to make them lose to Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed should be the jobber, not Elias. Theory Dawkins, you know what? Good match. I can't wait to see what's next for Dawkins and Ford. Both of them deserve a great singles career. Can't wait for them. Austin Theory is going to be a superstar. He's on it, well on his way. Nothing but good things to say. Then we had Rey Mysterio coming out again. Not sure why. Rey Mysterio, you're supposed to be a SmackDown guy. Why are you on Raw? This is not making much sense to me. Sorry. Then we had Seth Rollins and Baron Corbin. It was a match. That's all I'll say. Then another thing that doesn't make sense. Why would Chelsea Green be fighting Bianca Belair? Chelsea Green should be fighting to earn her way up, not being thrown right into a match with Bianca. Duh, that makes no sense. What is going on here? This whole show it's horrible. You're making me not want to watch WrestleMania just by the stuff you're putting out here. The Owens Sokoa match. Well, it was going good up until the Usos got involved, and then we have a 3-on-1 match. You make Sokoa look weak. Sokoa should be a dominating monster. I could see him beating Owens on his own, but instead it takes three people to beat him. Wow, way to cut his legs out from under him. I got to say, overall, this was one of the worst booked Raws in a long time. I do not understand what's going on when it comes to the booking. Let's just look at it. So these are the superstars that were on both shows this week. You had Jimmy and Jey Uso, Cody Rhodes, Sami Zayn, Solo Sikoa, Rey Mysterio, Finn Balor, Rhea Ripley, Damian Priest, and Dominic Mysterio. What the heck is going on? Do we have separate brands? That makes no sense. No wonder why the titles are on the Usos and Reigns, because there's no such thing as different brands now. These guys are just jumping every week. Oh, I'm going to wrestle on this one. I'm going to wrestle on this one. What is going on? If we're going to eliminate the brands, eliminate the brands. If we're going to split the titles, split the titles. Do something that makes sense. Have some type of consistency. Right now, we're nothing makes sense in WWE. Sorry, that's just my rant. I really hope that they start booking this a little bit better. What do you guys think out there? Leave your comments in the chat and I'll respond to them. So on that note, we're going to take a quick break and we will be back in just a minute. Hey everybody, and welcome back to the After Show, found here only on the Monty and the Pharaoh channels. Well, after that kind of negative talk in those last two segments with Raw and SmackDown, let's get on to something really cool and positive, and I can't wait to dive into it, and that is this edition of WWF Magazine from May 1989, long time ago. So as you can see, I've already taken the liberty of taking it out of its plastic, and I got a comment. WWF always had the best pictures. They had the best photographers out there. Their covers were always top notch. Not that there was anything wrong with PW Insider or Pro Wrestling Illustrated, but WWE Magazine was on another level. You know, you paid $2.25 for Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and it was $2.50 for this. And this is full color from front to back. Yeah, there's a lot of advertisements and stuff, but still full color. Well, first thing that strikes me when I open this up is they have WrestleMania 5 advertisement from Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage. WrestleMania 5. Wow, the mega powers had exploded. It's pretty cool you see that. But later on in this episode, you kind of know why Hulk Hogan lost the belt. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But on the contents page, you have the Battle of the Titans. You have an interview with Mr. Perfect, the Million Dollar Man. Revealing his belt, Sensational Sherry, Big John Studd, and Andre the Giant, Rick Martel. You know, it's really, we'll go through these as we go through the magazine. We'll touch on some of them. Let's see. So as we flip through, one of the first things that strikes me, I mentioned it last week and I'm going to mention it again this week. I miss those WWF ice cream bars. They were awesome. And this ad really, really brought back memories, because in that box that I found these magazines in, I found a card from one of those ice cream bars, and it's pictured here, and I just happen to have it in front of me too. It's Miss Elizabeth. How funny is that? So I just happen to have that and this ad about the ice cream bars. So bring back those ice cream bars. They were awesome. Let's see. I'm trying to be careful because I really don't want to hurt these pages. I've kept this. This has been in a plastic for the past 30 years. So I really don't want to ruin it now. Oh, we have an article on Tito Santana. This is before he became the Matador, but after Rick Martel had turned on him. So he was kind of in limbo at this point. Pretty funny. Then we have... We have an interview with Mr. Perfect. Well, the reality is we know those interviews never really took place. It was some writer writing the script of it, and then just a photo shoot of Mr. Perfect. Kurt Hennig, he was an awesome dude. He left us too soon. Some early MTV advertisements. Then you had Rick Rude and Brutus the Barber Beefcake, and just a recap of their match and how it ended up turning into a feud with Andre and Jake the Snake Roberts. I don't have time to go through the whole thing. It was a okay article, but kind of wordy, and it was just another angle. Now we have Ted DiBiase's Million Dollar Belt. That was a great angle, and it was kind of funny the few times that he had lost his belt over the years. But Ted DiBiase and Virgil were quite the characters back in the 90s. Oh, Brother Love and Ted DiBiase, awesome. Then we get into the WWF catalog. As I mentioned last time, whenever we got these when we were a kid, we went right to the catalog and jumped in because we wanted to see what new shirts were released. And this one was no exception. We had some cool ones that were released. We had the Rockers. We had Jake the Snake Roberts. We had Powers of Pain, Rick Rude, a new Brutus the Barber Beefcake and Ultimate Warrior shirt, as well as the classic one, my favorite, the Macho Man Randy Savage shirt. Oh, yeah. Wow, you used to love the merchandise catalogs. This was more advertisements about the Mega Powers exploding at WrestleMania 5. Then we get into a photo shoot of Sherry Martel. And, you know, I guess this was probably the scary Sherry era. But it's kind of funny seeing her do that. Now we have an article on Big John Studd and who the real giant is, and kind of just a juxtaposition of a few years ago when you had all those years, you had Andre as the face and John Studd as the heel. Now it just is kind of funny seeing everybody boo Andre at this point. That blackstrap Andre. Then we got Rick Martel right after he had turned on Tito Santana. They hadn't given him the model Rick Martel gimmick yet, so they were just talking about what he was going to do in his solo career, and really didn't talk about much in this article. It just is roundabout. A little bit of talk about the Anvil and Bret Hart, the Hart Foundation, and their successes. Then it gets into the reason why Randy Savage held the title for so long, because Hulk Hogan was away filming a stupid movie called No Holds Barred with Zeus, which they ended up, I believe it was at WrestleMania, wrestling in a tag team somehow, whatever. It was horrible, horrible, horrible. It was the movie. I don't know what was worse, the match or the movie. I guess both were equally as bad. It's kind of funny just looking back, and I couldn't wait to see that movie, and I couldn't wait to see Hulk Hogan face Zeus, and now looking back. Yeah, WWF crossword puzzle. Let's look at a couple of these questions. The Giants' homeland, that would be France. Here's one that's funny. WWF commentator McMahon. Yeah, this is long before they had said that. We weren't supposed to know Vince McMahon owned the WWF. And actually, at that point, I don't think I did because I was still a little kid. Most of them are really easy because it's really geared towards kids. But Haku's homeland, the Isle of Tonga. Well, we won't go through that anymore. And then we end up with a caught in the act with Rick Rude bashing the Ultimate Warrior over the back with some type of wrestling thing and some Nintendo and Stridex ads. But overall, really, really cool magazine. WWF magazines back in the day were a lot of fun. And I hope you guys enjoyed going through that one. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back and wrap it up. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the After Show, found here only on the Monty and the Pharaoh channel. Well, thank you guys for stopping by. It's been an interesting show. Hope you enjoyed my rants on Raw and SmackDown and going over the WWF magazine. If you guys have anything you want me to go over, let me know. I've got this stack of magazines I plan to go through. I've got some Pro Wrestling Illustrateds. I've got WWF magazines from 87 to, I believe it's 91. Got Wrestling Main Event magazines, Wrestling Eye, Inside Wrestling. I'm going to bring a few of them out, and it's kind of cool to see like the ranking systems, especially I liked Inside Wrestling a lot when I was a kid because of the ranking system, and you could see who had what title in what region and what had changed hands. WWF magazine was probably the prettiest out there. Maybe Wrestling Eye was pretty close too. That was all in color. So I think main event wasn't it. That had some color pages, but not all in color. But so we have to welcome back to the network Ona Z. Ona Z is back starting. It would have been Tuesday night. Ona Z season 2. It's going to be right after the SBS Sports Network on Tuesdays. The SBS Sports Network, that's Mantor and PN News. and they're doing a great show. That's at 9 p.m. on the Monty and the Pharaoh channels, and then followed by Ona Z. She's back with season two. And then, of course, on Thursday nights, you have the one and only Monty and the Pharaoh show. What a show. The dynamics of those guys are great. Love you guys. And, you know, they lead into the greatest show on their network. And that's the after show starring ESO. Yes, that's me. But, yeah, thank you guys for stopping by. And on that note, I'm going to get out of here. And until next week, this is ESO, and I am out of here.